For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. A water war is brewing in southwest Utah. Backers of a proposed pipeline want to pump groundwater across two counties to supply drinking water to Cedar City. Rancher Mark Winch fears the project could render his land in Beaver County useless if the pipeline draws down as much water as already projected.
Springs depleted, then I'll lose crop ground, I'll lose power, I'll lose everything.
In addition to ranch owners, native tribes see the project as a threat to their water and ancestral homelands. In response to fears that Cedar City has already overpumped its own aquifer, Paul Monroe with the Central Iron County Water Conservancy District maintains there are built-in protections.
If it looks like we are negatively impacting that aquifer and it's not responding the way that we anticipate, then there are triggers and impacts that take place.
Local economies built on fossil fuels like coal face an especially daunting challenge transitioning to renewable energy. Tax credits within the Inflation Reduction Act may help. Anya Slepian has more.
Federal subsidies for local solar projects, from residential installations to utility-scale solar farms, help solve the chicken-and-egg problem for solar developers, says Autumn Long, who works with the environmental nonprofit Appalachian Voices.
To create that flow of new jobs and careers and investment, we need to ensure that there's enough demand for projects that the workforce will be maintained.
In addition to a baseline tax credit for all solar installations, the Inflation Reduction Act provides an extra 10% credit for commercial, nonprofit, and public solar projects in communities that have historically produced fossil fuels. Eric Sprolis of the Nature Conservancy says that incentive could be critical for these communities as they rebuild their economies.
Solar energy is a really important opportunity for historically coal-producing states like West Virginia to continue to serve as a domestic energy powerhouse.
I am Anya Slepian.
Baristas at Starbucks are unionizing, and not just in the big cities, and striking over employees' charges that the coffee powerhouse isn't bargaining in good faith. Workers allege store closings and firings in some stores where employees are trying to unionize. Starbucks says they've closed stores because of unsafe neighborhoods. Barista Katie McCoy is a former Starbucks worker in Snohomish, Washington. She's still active in organizing.
Our store's working conditions specifically were just really bad, and it took a toll on everyone's mental health.
250 of Starbucks' 9,000 American locations unionized last year. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.